This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama. Today we shall close with our feature of health and healing. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis held his midweek general audience on Wednesday at the Vatican. In his catechesis, the Pope looked back at his just-concluded 40th apostolic journey to Africa. The trip fulfilled two dreams, he said, to visit the Congolese people who are custodians of an immense country, which is the green heart of Africa and second in the world, along with Amazonia. And, he added, to visit the South Sudanese people in a pilgrimage of peace together with the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and the Moderator General of the Church of Scotland, Ian Greenshields. Deborah Lubav reports.
The Holy Father expressed joy to have visited the Congolese people, whom he said are guardians of an immense country, a land rich in resources and bloodied by a war, he said, that never ends because there are always those who feed the fire. The Holy Father reflected on his days in the nation's capital of Kinshasa and the messages he made there to protect the precious country from contention, violence, poverty, and exploitation. He recalled his appeal to stop exploiting Africa and to walk together in the name of Christ, our hope. The Pope expressed delight to visit the people of South Sudan while undertaking a pilgrimage of peace, together with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Moderator General of the Church of Scotland. We went together to witness that it is possible and right to collaborate in diversity, especially if one shares faith in Christ, he said. The Pope called it the culmination of a journey that began some years ago, which had seen them meet in Rome in 2019 with the authorities of South Sudan to make a commitment to overcome the conflict and build peace. Unfortunately, he lamented, the reconciliation process has not advanced and the newly born South Sudan is a victim of the old logic of power and rivalry. He called again for the development needed so that people can work in peace, the sick can be cured, children can go to school. However, the churches and Christian-inspired organizations, the Pope went on to say, are on the front lines alongside the poor people. The Holy Father also stressed the critical role of women, saying they do great work and are the force that can transform the country. Pope Francis concluded praying that in both the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan, that there be love, justice, and peace. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
At the end of the general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis invited the faithful present to join him in praying for the intercession of the Virgin Mary for the thousands of victims of the deadly earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Let's pray together so that these brothers and sisters can move forward from this tragedy. And we pray that Our Lady will protect them, the Pope said in the Vatican's Paul VI Hall. With deep feeling, I pray for them and express my closeness to these people, to the families of the victims, and to all those who suffer because of this devastating natural disaster, the Pope said. I thank all those who are working to bring assistance and encouragement to them and solidarity to those areas in part already tormented by a long war. The Holy Father then led the pilgrims in praying the Hail Mary for all those affected. On February 6th, a series of large earthquakes in parts of Turkey and Syria created massive destruction and killed an estimated 9,600 people, according to the latest available estimates reported by Reuters early on Wednesday morning. Pope Francis on Wednesday encouraged the faithful to keep up the effort to work against human trafficking. Writing in his Twitter message, the Pope prayed that people may work together against human trafficking and work with those who are destroyed by the violence of sexual and labor exploitation, as well as with migrants and displaced persons. May we courageously reaffirm the value of human dignity, the Holy Father tweeted. His Twitter message was a reflection of his message for the 9th World Day of Prayer and Reflection Against Human Trafficking, marked in the Catholic Church on the Feast of St. Josephine Bakita, observed on 8th February. In his video message, the Pope decries the fact that human trafficking disfigures human dignity. Linda Bodoni reports.
Speaking on the feast day of St. Josephine Bakita, the patron saint of victims of human trafficking, Pope Francis noted that the scourge is rising around the world and said it is disfiguring human dignity.
La tratta di persone sfigura la dignità.
In a video message to mark the 9th World Day of Prayer and Reflection Against Human Trafficking, he recalled this year's theme, Journeying in Dignity, that emphasizes the need for everyone to walk together to combat the evil and highlights the fact that it is often vulnerable migrants and refugees on the move who fall victims to human traffickers. He said exploitation and subjugation restrict freedom and make people objects to be used and discarded. And the trafficking system, he continued, takes advantage of injustices and inequities that force millions of people to live in vulnerable conditions. In fact, the Holy Father added, people impoverished by the economic crises, wars, climate change, and so much instability are easily recruited. And directing his call in particular to young people who are invited to be engaged in a special way to uphold the dignity of every person they meet, he said trafficking is unfortunately growing to a worrying extent,
la tratta purtroppo cresce in misura preoccupante,
affecting above all migrants, women and children, young people like yourselves, people rich in dreams and the desire to live in dignity. The Church's World Day of Prayer and Reflection is an annual observance established by Pope Francis in 2015 and spearheaded by women and men religious who are deeply involved in preventing human trafficking, caring for its victims and providing healing programs. It falls on the feast day of the 19th century Sudanese slave, Josephine Bakita, who was canonized in the year 2000 by Pope St. John Paul II. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The Holy See has once again expressed alarm over rising anti-Semitic violence and hate speech in European countries. This is according to Archbishop Luciano Soriani, who is the Apostolic Nuncio to Bulgaria and Macedonia. He was speaking this week at a conference organized in Skopje by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE for short. The meeting was organized under the theme Addressing Anti-Semitism in the OSCE Region. And Archbishop Luciano said that the Holy See is upholding the ongoing efforts by member states of the OSCE region. Lisa Zingarini reports.
In a statement delivered on February the 7th at the closing session of the OSCE conference in Skopje, the Apostolic Nuncio to North Macedonia, Archbishop Luciano Soriani, said the Holy See is particularly alarmed by the rising number of attacks targeting synagogues, Jewish cemeteries and other sites, noting that anti-Semitic hate crimes are widely under-recorded. He therefore highlighted that protecting Jewish as well as other religious communities is a duty incumbent upon the civil authorities regardless of their political or religious affiliation. The Vatican Nuncio went on to highlight two worrying trends that need particular attention. The first challenge is the erosion of the freedom of Jewish people to practice their religion based on the false idea that behaviors and actions motivated by religious belief should have no room in our societies. On the contrary, said Archbishop Soriani, the Holy See is convinced that religious freedom is essential, especially in a secular society, since it protects the most intimate realm of every single person and the identity of different religious communities. Another worrying trend today is the trivialization and misappropriation of the Holocaust. In this regard, the Vatican Nuncio insisted on the uniqueness of the Holocaust, making any comparison unacceptable. Finally, Archbishop Soriani addressed the role played by internet and social networks in amplifying anti-Semitic feelings at an unprecedented scale. In this regard, he highlighted the need for codes of conduct for internet service providers and social networking services, and in some cases for direct state intervention. I am Lisa Zengarini.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
News Panorama.
I'm Father Paul Samasumo. As the latest death toll in the Turkey-Syria earthquake passed 9,500 persons, African leaders have joined in condolencing with the people of Turkey and Syria. The presence of Ethiopia, South Africa, Nigeria, Senegal, Somalia, Burundi, and Gambia, as well as the African Union chairperson Musa Faki Mahamat, voiced prayer, support, and solidarity. Algeria has sent an 89-member civil protection unit to Turkey and another team of 85 to Syria to help with rescue efforts. Algeria also sent 210 tons of humanitarian aid for both countries. Tunisia, on the other hand, also shipped humanitarian aid for both Turkey and Syria. The aid includes 14 tons of blankets and food. Furthermore, Tunisia is also recruiting volunteer medics to be sent to the two countries. On Tuesday, new clashes between protesters and security forces in southern Nigeria left at least one person injured. Nigerian authorities are pushing to rapidly phase out its old currency notes, resulting in shortages of cash. Protesters targeted facilities of some banks, accused of withholding the new banknotes ahead of the 10 February deadline for people to deposit their old paper currency and use their redesigned version. The exchange program started in late November. Nigeria's Economic and Financial Crimes Commission said that what some of the offending banks were doing amounted to sabotage of the government's monetary policy. The Central Bank of Nigeria introduced their redesigned banknotes as well as new limits on large cash withdrawals to help recover currency circulating outside the banking system. The change is also meant to curb money laundering and popularize digital payments. There is mounting frustration among some Congolese people over what they view as the unwillingness of recently deployed troops of the East African Community to fight the M23 rebels. The rebels have seized large areas of territory in North Kivu province. The cautious approach of the East African troops is being met with increased impatience and anger. A day after violent protests in Goma against the East African Community military force, the Congolese army took to marching in the streets of Goma to reassure the city's 1 million people that they were ready to defend them should the rebels attack. On Tuesday, shops and public places remained closed after protesters blockaded streets and looted businesses on Monday. The largely Tutsi-led M23 rebels have won a series of victories against the army, the Congolese army, and occupied chunks of territory in North Kivu, including much of North Goma. The government of the Democratic Republic of Congo accuses Rwanda of backing the M23 rebels, a charge that Rwanda denies. Since their arrival in the Democratic Republic of Congo in December, the East African Community troops have not engaged into any battle or combat against the M23 rebels. You're tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Health and Healing. The World Health Organization, the WHO, has reported a sharp increase in respiratory diseases in children in different parts of the world and is calling upon parents to watch for the symptoms. Respiratory disease is one that affects the lungs and other parts of the system that we use to breathe. Respiratory diseases are caused either by microbes such as bacteria and viruses, or by smoking tobacco, or by breathing in second-hand tobacco smoke, or by breathing in air that has been polluted by substances such as asbestos. Dr. Wilson Were is an official of the World Health Organization. He explains more.
We are seeing a spike in respiratory diseases in children, particularly those under 10 years of age, beyond the typical flu season. We are seeing an increasing number of children hospitalized with acute respiratory infections caused by common respiratory viruses such as influenza, parainfluenza, respiratory syncytial virus, commonly called RSV, adenoviruses, and coronaviruses, including COVID-19. In addition, we are also seeing increasing cases of pharyngitis and skin infection caused by bacteria called group A streptococcal infection. This may be because we are back to relative normalcy after COVID-19 and seeing viruses and bacteria spread again. Maybe some children did not have prior infections, so don't have any built-in immunity. Or maybe some of these viruses changed just a little bit and seem to be spreading faster. Maybe some children are getting multiple infections, so becoming sicker than usual. So it could be any of these reasons as we try to figure out which particular one.
The World Health Organization is calling upon parents and guardians to look out for the following signs on their children. Dr. Were again.
Typically, children will have a cold or flu-like symptoms with a runny nose or nasal congestion, sneezing with scratched throat, a cough. Some might have a fever or change in their ability to eat or drink. In most cases, parents and caregivers can manage these symptoms. However, in some cases, it may be associated with group A streptococcal infection. In this case, children will have a sore throat, a headache, muscle pains, and a fever, along with a fine reddish rash, which is called scarlet fever. But watch out for the red flags. Worsening of these symptoms, specifically if a child is breathing too fast or having trouble breathing with the upper tummy getting sucked in, which we call chest syndrome, or when the lips or skin are turning blue, or when the child is constantly running a high temperature or throwing up, or is unable to breastfeed, drink, or eat. And in case of group A streptococcal infection, they have painful skin and bones. Then you know it's time to immediately consult a health provider or go to hospital.
It is a well-known medical principle that prevention is better than a cure. Dr. Were advises on how to protect children against respiratory diseases that he has mentioned.
There are three things parents can do to protect their children. First is practice good hygiene. Cover your mouth and nose with a mask or tissue. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Cough in your elbow or sneeze in your elbow. Throw away used tissues immediately and wash your hands. Wash your hands regularly with soap or use a hand sanitizer. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. The second thing is to keep up to date with child's vaccination, including for influenza and COVID-19. The third thing is breastfeeding if a child is breastfeeding, because breast milk is protective against these viruses in younger infants.
Respiratory diseases are more common in the cold seasons. Dr. Sylvie Bryant is also an official of the World Health Organization. She explains more.
We are seeing a spike in respiratory viruses, all kinds of viruses, COVID-19, influenza, RSV. This is not a surprise. We always see an increase in respiratory diseases in winter time for the northern hemisphere. Why? Firstly, because most of the 175 types of circulating respiratory viruses prefer cold and humid weather. Most of them produce mild disease. But some of them, like COVID-19, influenza, or RSV, can produce severe disease, leading to hospitalization and even death. Secondly, when the weather is cold or humid, people tend to gather indoor in less ventilated spaces and thus are more exposed to infection. However, this year is a bit special. We are seeing more respiratory disease than usual. We think that this increase is due to at least two factors. In the past 3 years, people were applying personal protective measures like masks, washing hands, less gatherings. But this year, in many countries, most of these preventive measures are not applied anymore. In addition, people have probably lost some of their immunity against respiratory viruses in general, given the low circulation of respiratory viruses in the past years, thanks to the protective measure.
One of the respiratory diseases that is affecting children today is influenza. The disease is caused by a virus And as Dr. Were has mentioned above, it is one of the diseases that can be prevented by vaccination. Dr. Bryan explains how the vaccine does this.
There are many influenza viruses circulating. We know at least three big families, A, H1N1, A, H3N2, and B viruses. What is important to know is that these viruses evolve constantly. As they multiply in human cells, viruses are changing. This is like having a parent virus, making many children, and then having many grandchildren and many great-grandchildren. The influenza vaccine, it's like a picture of the virus, a picture of the enemy that is shown to our internal defenses, the antibodies. When the antibodies have seen the picture of the virus, they can recognize it. So when the virus enters the body, the antibody can push it out. This is how the influenza vaccine works. However, because of the constant evolution of the virus, we need to update the influenza vaccine composition regularly so that the picture of the enemy that is shown to the antibodies is not the picture of the parent virus that was circulating last year, but the picture of the great-grandchild viruses that are circulating this year.
The World Health Organization, like a coordinating body of health protection, has the responsibility of tracking viruses that cause diseases and make sure that the pharmaceutical companies produce vaccines to prevent them.
The WHO has a network of laboratories around the world called GISRES, the Global Influenza Surveillance and Response System. This network is composed of more than 150 laboratories in 137 countries. Those laboratories are collecting and monitoring influenza viruses throughout the year. The collected viruses at the national level are then sent regularly to WHO collaborating centers for global assessment. Experts meet regularly to monitor the circulating virus, assess which ones are predominant, and then define which ones should be considered for the vaccine so that the picture of the enemy is the best possible picture to train our antibodies to fight the virus. This represents an enormous amount of work, but many countries in the world are participating in this effort because influenza is an important public health issue and is killing between 200 to 600,000 people every year, which represent nearly 8,000 deaths per week on average. The influenza vaccine is safe and very effective to protect against severe disease, hospitalization and death, and it is strongly recommended for people at risk of severe disease such as elderly, people with underlying condition and comorbidities like immunosuppression, diabetes, chronic respiratory and cardiac diseases, and so on. Influenza vaccine is also recommended for pregnant women and young children. We also encourage healthcare workers to get vaccinated as they are more exposed to the virus in their professional practice and they are less likely to infect their patient when vaccinated.
That was Dr. Sylvie Bryant, and earlier we had Dr. Wilson Were. Both are officials of the World Health Organization, the WHO. The Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, has clarified that COVID-19 remains an international health threat and therefore the public should not relax in observing the preventive measures. Daniel Johnson reports.
The head of the UN Health Agency, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, said on Monday that COVID-19 is still a global health threat and that now is not the time to declare the pandemic over. Tedros's decision is in line with the latest Coronavirus Emergency Committee meeting held last Friday at the World Health Organization, WHO, in Geneva. It is 3 years to the week since COVID-19 was declared a public health emergency of international concern after the initial outbreak in Wuhan, China. The WHO Director General said that although the world is in a better position than a year ago when Omicron infections surged, more than 170,000 COVID-19 related deaths have been reported globally in just the last 8 weeks. Tedros noted once again that surveillance and genetic sequencing of the coronavirus have declined globally, making it more difficult to track known variants and detect new ones. He warned that health systems continue to struggle to treat a high number of COVID-19 patients and others with influenza and respiratory infections amid staff shortages and health worker burnout. The UN Health Agency chief also insisted that vaccines, therapeutics and diagnostics remain critical in preventing severe disease, saving lives and taking the pressure off health systems and health workers globally. Despite their proven worth, Tedros said that the COVID-19 response remains hobbled in too many countries that are unable to provide these tools to the populations most in need, older people and health workers. Globally, there have been more than 752.5 million confirmed cases of COVID-19, including 6.8 million deaths, reported to the World Health Organization. More than 13 billion vaccine doses have been administered. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of Health and Healing. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger, and to believe in me shall not thirst. No one can come to me unless the Father.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.